Hey guys, welcome to the Command Edit Podcast, the podcast that hopefully you listen to when you're taking a break from your post-edit job. And we offer some tips and tricks on how to kind of unwind, focus on those often neglected parts of our life like nutrition, fitness, and also talk a lot about how to be more efficient in post, whether it be shortcuts for editing, whether it be some software tips and tricks, the latest news and gadgets, that sort of stuff. We try to cover it all. So hopefully you'll find something very entertaining. And hopefully this episode you'll find very informative. I asked recently in the Facebook group, over in the Command Edit Podcast Facebook group, how people rate their ability to make sound, nutritious choices when it comes to eating on the job. And a lot of you answered that while you're pretty efficient at, you know, grocery shopping for home and cooking pretty well and eating pretty nutritiously, when you're on the job, that's when you're at a disadvantage and you often make some pretty poor choices. And I really think that's something that we need to talk about, thus the topic of this episode, because we often forget that the fuel you're putting into your body is the stuff that you're using to work hard, to stay creative, to stay energetic, and to, you know, work throughout the night. So those cravings that we give into, the sugary, starchy, carby stuff that, you know, we know is not good for us, when we put that into our systems, it ultimately affects our work, it affects our mood, it affects our energy, it affects a lot of stuff. And so that's why we're going to talk about a few ways that you can make some nutritious, sound choices when you're on the job, whether it be on set or whether you work from home and you're trying to meet those deadlines. This is going to help you out big time. So Andrea McLaughlin came onto the show to talk about a few tips and tricks to help you out. She is the owner and founder of Lovera Holistic, and she is a naturopath with a passion for helping others by supporting the body in its innate ability to heal itself. And I've been following her work for a while, and she's super positive, super helpful, very approachable as well. So I'll include a link to her website and where you can reach her in the show notes for episode 44. So go on over and head on over to commandeditpodcast.com and check out the show notes for this episode to find out where you can reach her. And go ahead and reach out to her. She runs a Facebook group called the 7-Day Sugar Detox, where the first 7 days of each month, she runs a detox group to get sugar free. It's great. It's a super great way. The support of the group really helps to kick out sugar for a week and just cleanse the body of it. And otherwise, she's there for answering any questions that you may have. She's super approachable, super knowledgeable. Go ahead and reach out to her. And the big motivation to discussing this topic this week, if you guys have followed in the past episodes, I announced that I just started working on a new feature film this week. And I'm kind of on set, off set. I'm editing, but I'm, you know, visiting set, managing DIT a little bit, and trying to stay in touch with production as much as possible. So I'm trying to be very present during the actual filming. However, what made it very difficult this week is first day on set, I saw that evil table of sugary treats that is present on every film set, the craft table. It's very, very difficult to navigate through that craft table, as we all know, because, man, do they tend to load that thing up with some of the worst villainous foods that just are there. They're great for immediate gratification, but man, they are going to sabotage you as far as energy levels go, and you know, you are going to crash and your body's going to hate you for it, and ultimately your work may suffer for it. I'm talking donuts, bagels, bread, chips, pop, cookies, all the, that token bowl of fruit to make it everything okay. It was incredibly tempting. I really, really was tempted to give in and grab a few things, but I prevailed and I did not partake. And I'm so glad that I did. In the long run, I'm very, very glad when I'm able to make those right choices. So today's episode, we'll be talking about a few ways that you can help yourself at work by being more mindful about what you're putting into your body, what affects it positively and negatively, what foods to go for and what foods to avoid. So stay tuned and get ready to meet Andrea McLaughlin. Well, hello, Andrea, and thank you for joining me today on this beautiful sunny day of podcasting.
Thank you for having me. It is sunny out here, too, in the Pacific Northwest, so yay.
It's finally beautiful here today. Today looks like the first spring day, thank God. So why not spend that indoors at my desk? That makes the most sense, you know?
Right, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so thank you for joining me. We're going to be talking a little bit about how to rid editors of our evil nutrition ways and some tips on how they could be eating a little bit better for them. So why don't we first talk about you and the kind of stuff that you do, because you run your own business, Lovera Holistic, and you do some one-on-one health and nutrition coaching with people. So why don't you talk a little bit about how that works? How did you get into that?
So let's see. Well, I'll first start out by just telling you a little bit about what it is that I do. And so I focus on holistic nutrition is my main focus. So what I do is I have one-on-one coaching. We do one-hour sessions. It's just, you know, private with myself and the client, and I can either work in person or I can work, you know, over the phone or through Skype or things like this. And I focus really on their nutrition and, you know, what are you doing now and, you know, what are your goals and what are your specific health challenges and how can we help solve those or help move you in the right direction with nutrition. So I do have one-hour sessions that I do, and I have a four-week deep nutrition program that I do for some deeper healing. And I also do group fitness and nutrition programs on Facebook.
Yeah, and I have noticed, recently I did partake in the 7-day sugar cleanse challenge that was one of the groups that you run for free on Facebook, yes. Which runs every month. And so I didn't quite make the cut last time. I lasted for about 4 days, but unfortunately, I caved. I'll chalk that up to work stress, to the work environment changed for me. I got hired out for a shoot, and all of a sudden, yeah, I just found, like, oh, it's tough to keep up with this when there's few options around.
Yeah, it is a little bit tougher to do when you're traveling or when you have a busy work schedule. You really have to be mindful of preparation in that kind of a case, like really, you know, being able to prepare ahead of time, knowing that you may have some challenges ahead of you, but there's always next month.
Absolutely. And I'm going to get to that in a second. However, I wanted to kind of back up for a second because this has been a question on my mind recently. The very term holistic has been kind of a buzzword that has really, really been popular over the last few years and has become like very, very commonly used. But I'm actually curious, like what makes, you know, what makes health and nutrition or what makes your role holistic? What does adding that word holistic mean?
So holistic is a term that is referring to the entire being. So not simply physical, the physical part of you, but really physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And that's what holistic encompasses. At least that's what it means to me. And so looking at it holistically and looking at nutrition, when you are really looking at the diet and making some necessary changes to a healthier lifestyle with diet, you really are encompassing all of those things, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And if you're eating really, really good foods that are healthy for you, they are extremely beneficial in all of those realms. So they will help you on all levels. And that is why specifically focusing on nutrition really is a holistic practice.
Why do you think that's become such a big focus recently over the over recent years? Because I know that there's a much more a stronger focus for people, especially in the workplace, to be focused on yes, your mental health. How's your body feeling, and respecting your physical and mental health, so that you can be more productive. So partaking in things like better nutrition, exercise, sleeping better, even regular meditation. Why do you think that's become such a big focus?
Well, I think that's a really good question. There's quite a few things that kind of go with that answer, and the first thing I would say is if you look around at North America, we have quite a bit going on. We have a lot of, you know, trends of, you know, obesity and diabetes and, you know, different illnesses, you know, arthritis, cancer, things that are really coming up right now. And I think at this time, people are starting to really awaken. Consciousness is really starting to awaken to what's going on with this. And people are really starting to want to move away from the pills, away from the drugs, and they're really wanting a more natural lifestyle. And at least that's what I've been finding. A lot of my clients have told me in the past, you know, I'm taking all this medication, or I went to the doctor and, you know, they gave me, you know, 30 supplements or something like this to take. And I think people are really opening their eyes to wanting and needing something different. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with taking medicine when you absolutely need it, of course, but, you know, and that's why we are thankful for doctors. But on the other hand, to really prevent some of these things from happening or to create a healthier lifestyle, we really need to look at nutrition and how it's affecting our bodies. And over the years, it's just seemed to gotten a lot worse. And, you know, you can see that by looking at the trends right now. And so looking at nutrition is a really big deal, especially, and, you know, if relating it to the workplace, you know, let's say we have a very stressful job. Well, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about that. You have a stressful job. Okay, you have a stressful job. But what can you do other than that when you're not, either when you're not at your job or when you are at your job? What can you do to really enhance your health to create a lifestyle that's more supportive to you?
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, there are some things that, you know, some things that you can control. It may not be the stress level of the job. Maybe may remain the same, but there are some things that you can, you know, have a better grasp on, have a better control of, so that you can deal with the stress better and still do a great job.
Exactly. And I think that's a really big deal right now, because there's a lot of people, let's look at the majority of people who have in North America who have highly stressful jobs, high percentage. So, and that's just the way things are going right now. And so we really have to look at, you know, how can we really take care of ourselves to create a healthier being so that we can do a better job, and so that we can feel good at work and outside of work.
Mm-hmm. So how can, I think people have a general idea of how nutrition can affect one, but what are some ways that foods can positively or negatively affect people in the workplace, and specifically people like editors who are bound to their desk for, hours of the day and, perhaps don't see a whole lot of sunlight, perhaps don't get a whole lot of exercise, and are dealing with very little sleep and, you know, the pressure of deadlines. How can food lend itself, you know, help make them work better or hinder them?
Well, food can either give you energy, give you vitality, or food can weigh you down and create, some crazy, uncomfortable things happening in the body. So when we're looking at food, we want to really look at, you know, okay, well, what is this food going to do for me? Because, you know, I don't know really where we lost hold of, you know, what's a healthy food and what's not a healthy food. All this processed food started coming out, and, you know, things in bags and, you know, like potato chips and cookies and, you know, burgers, you know, fast food burgers and things like this. That have come out, and somewhere along the way we have really lost, I think, that connection with food and what's healthy and what's not and how it's affecting our body. So if we can bring more awareness to, okay, well, what specific food am I eating and or am I wanting to eat, and how is this going to make me feel right now? Is it going to make me feel good and give me more energy so that I can do my work efficiently? Or is it going to, you know, in an hour, am I going to feel like shit? Yeah. Because really, that's what it can do. It can either make you feel awesome or it can make you feel like shit. So we really have to look at the different kinds of foods and what they can do too for our bodies.
What's the most common problem that you find when, like, when people come to you and they say, I need to get a better grasp on this. You know, I need to start eating better, but I'm completely lost. Don't know where to start. What's the most common problem that you see people have when it comes to having a good idea of what kind of food they're putting in their body, what's right for them, what's wrong for them?
So I wouldn't necessarily say that there is a common particular problem, but I would say that people come to me as sort of a last resort type situation. They've tried everything else. They're really feeling blah. They're really feeling sick. They have very low energy, low vitality. And, you know, along with that comes a number of symptoms that could be happening to a particular person. And so what we want to do, again, bringing back the word holistic, is look at them holistically and talk to them and really find out, well, what have we been doing to get you from there to where you are now? And how can we get you from here to where you want to be? So I think the main problem that I see, to answer your question more directly, is just this low energy, low vitality, and then just this plethora of symptoms that is happening just because they haven't been sure what to do up until this point.
I'll say that looking back on young Nick, even like, you know, even like 10 years ago, or even further back as, you know, when I was a kid, I look back and I think I have a pretty good awareness now of what I'm feeding my body. I still eat some junk from time to time, but I'm aware of what it's doing to me and then how to balance it out later. And it's, you know, it's all about achieving that balance. I look back to young Nick when I was younger, when I was a kid, teenager growing up, and I actually remember feeling like crap. But I also remember the stuff that I would eat and the amount of water I would not drink. That was big for me. I did not drink enough water as a kid.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, times that I would be sick or I would just have really low energy. I was not motivated. I was cranky. I was moody. And yeah, I look back on that now and I think, man, like, how did I not make this connection between what I'm feeding my body and how it's affecting me? And well, it's completely different now.
I find that fascinating that you remember this, like, feeling like crap. And, you know, oftentimes we, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, in our adult lives and, you know, kind of just walking around feeling like crap, but not really remembering feeling like crap back in the day because they haven't really had a chance to feel good yet. So it's really impressive that give yourself a lot of credit because you've come from that feeling like crap and now you feel a lot better and look at you now where you can now remember, oh yeah, like I felt like crap.
Well, it's weird because, like, you know, yeah, looking back, I can remember that. I don't remember that at the time feeling, you know, saying to myself, you know, ugh, this, you know, I feel like shit. I've got to do something to fix this. I was just going through that state of feeling like crap, but not waking up to it. And looking back on it, it seems so obvious. I want to shout at my former self and being like, duh, drink more water, eat less junk. Like, these are obvious things that you should be doing. I think that a lot of people do behave like that, where they don't realize the connection between they don't realize that how badly they feel, or they're not reading the signs that their bodies are trying to send them, that, you know, hey, you're not giving me what I need to do what you want to do.
And I just want to make a point that, you know, that's actually, you know, unfortunately, that's pretty normal these days to feel like crap and not really know it, because, well, number one, you haven't had a chance to really feel good and feel that vitality that you could feel. But number two, it's this societal thing, I think, of we think we feel normal. We think we feel good. All these, you know, things are happening to our body that feel crappy, but yet we think this is a normal way to live. And, you know, normal, you know, it's a relative term. I don't really, for lack of a better term, I'm using normal. But, you know, we feel okay, and we think that this is just, you know, how we're supposed to feel. But in the end, if you have a chance, if you have even a week to eat a little bit better and just see how good you can feel because of that, you'll see that it doesn't have to feel normal to be, you know, super stressed all the time, or it doesn't have to feel normal to, you know, have a stomach ache constantly, or, you know, whatever you may be suffering from. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
Right, yeah. So coming back to, you know, there are a lot of post-production folk that that listen to this that are probably, maybe even right now, I don't know if people listen to our podcast while they're working. If you, if you are, hey, get back to work, focus. But
slacker.
Yeah, but they're likely sitting at their desk. And, you know, I think that a number of listeners, you know, do have a, you know, somewhat of a grasp of what good food, bad food is for them. But I'm willing to bet that some of them do have, you know, have the signs of some nutrition sins lying around them, like some candy bar wrappers, some potato chip bags, or, you know, a can of soda on their desk or something like that, or that large pot of coffee that they just downed in order to, you know, get through the grind of 3 a.m., you know, workload. So what, you know, what are the most common, you know, food sins, nutrition sins that people who, you know, work at a desk usually get find themselves committing?
Well, I think the big one, and I'm going to go here first because it was like a buzzword for like, bing, coffee, but not in the sense that you think, because coffee can actually be, you know, if you look at the research, you know, one or two cups a day can actually be beneficial for a person. So I just want to say, you know, coffee does have antioxidants. Coffee, it's a bean, it's natural, it can be very healthy for you. So if you are a coffee drinker, don't be scared. I'm not going to tell you to give up your coffee.
Phew. This is almost over right now.
Take a breath. So, but what I am going to say is, what are we putting in our coffee? That's probably the thing that creates the most havoc on a lot of people in pretty much any job, but a lot of sitting jobs, right? Because if you have a stressful job, if you have a sitting job, you're looking to stay awake. You're looking for that coffee buzz. But what are you really getting? Are you getting the coffee? Are you getting the caffeine from the coffee? Or are you getting that sugar buzz from all the sugar you're putting in it? Are you getting all the inflammation in your body from the cream you're putting in it? What are we using in our coffee? So I think I would say that that's the biggest one. The next one on my personal list, and this is just my opinion, would probably be like pop soda. I highly recommend having soda. That would probably be the other one. It's super high in sugar and it's very acidic and just very bad. And, you know, of course, there are tons of processed foods out there that we're eating. And processed foods are probably the worst kinds of foods for you. Of course, there are, you know, exceptions to that rule. Things in a package like that have one ingredient like brown rice or quinoa or something like that. That's different. But what I'm talking about is the junk foods like the cookies, the chips, the crackers, the with the, all kinds of seasonings on it, you know, candy bars, you know, things that we think are really helping us give us energy in the moment. Or maybe that's all we even have to grab that's available. Mm-hmm. But really, these things are just creating more of a problem.
Now, the most common foods that you're going to find as well, like, you know, say on set at a craft table or at a post-production house, if you know, the employer is feeding his or her crew, then they usually stock up on a lot of, you know, starchy, carby, fill you up solutions or you know, sugary snacks that are like the cheapest to get and provide like the most immediate gratification when you get. It's my personal pet peeve when I'm on set, when the craft table is just full of all this stuff that has red flags in it for me. Like, nope, I will not put any of that into my body because it'll kill my productivity. So help me set these people straight in their ways. And this is also for, you know, people who feed themselves at the desk, what to look for, what to pack in your lunchbox each day. But what foods are going to sustain you and not give you a sugar crash or cause any of these negative stuff? What are some of the best foods that people can be aiming for?
All right. So I guess the first thing I'm going to address is that table. If you are in a bind and you have nothing to eat, of course I would much rather say, okay, well, something. Don't, you know, pass out because you haven't eaten anything in 12 hours. That's not cool either. If you have to choose something from that table, try and choose something that has the lowest amount of sugar and the lowest amount of sodium. If you have to do that, and, you know, I don't know why this is coming to my mind. This has sugar and sodium, so don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, saying this is a health food by any means. But animal crackers are coming to my head. Like, for some reason, animal crackers, if they're sitting there, they just sound like something that are going to be lower in sugar and sodium than the other items on the table. Things that are really high in sugar are going to be anything like candy, like, you know, Skittles or, you know, whatever else, Snickers bars, whatever else is sitting on that table that has is a candy. So I guess that's my advice for the table. And if, you know, as far as what to pack, I mean, I think the first thing I have to say is if you know you're going to have a long day and you know you're going to be stuck, you know, with that table, to make sure that you prepare ahead of time. That's the biggest thing. Or if you're going to have a long week, let's say you take a Sunday and you take a couple hours out of your Sunday and you prepare your food for the week. It's what I do. I work from home most of the time, so I'm blessed with the option of, like, hey, if I have to get up from my desk for a minute and go grab an apple, I can do that. However, I do have to prepare because I'm a busy person. Let's say I have client calls all day and I really don't have time. I have to make sure that I'm scheduling in time for myself to cut that apple or to, you know, chop my salad, or I have to just, you know, fend for myself and grab what I have. So what I do in the beginning of the week is I take Sundays or Saturdays, just depends on my weekend, and I'll go to the grocery store and I'll do all my grocery shopping for the week. I pick a few recipes out that I want to try for dinner or lunch or whatever, and I pre-chop, pre-cut, you know, Shanghai the shit out of some vegetables on a Sunday, and I put them in little, you know, containers, and I have them ready to go. So the best foods, I would say, you know, to prepare for yourselves are always going to be, always, the food that was provided to us by Mother Nature, and that is going to be fresh fruits and vegetables. Especially if you're sitting at a desk all day and you're not moving. The lymphatic system is the system in our body that fights invaders. We need our lymphatic system to move and to work, and the lymphatic system moves when we move. So unfortunately, if you're stuck it doesn't have a pump like the heart does, right? So unfortunately, if you're stuck at a desk all day and you're not moving, the best thing that you could do is eat some fresh, raw fruits and vegetables, especially fruits, because that is going to keep your internal organs working properly, really good for the kidneys, really light on the liver, really helping with digestion and assimilation, and really helping those organs work even when you're not able to move.
In my kit nowadays, especially if I have to go work at another editor's desk, or even worse, if I have to prepare for being on set all day for a few days at a time, in my kit of stuff, whatever gear I bring, there's always a pocket on there that has some emergency foods. Green apples and almonds are that's my first aid kit for snacks throughout the day, because they fill me up, they give me some energy, they're not going to bog me down, they're perfect. But I always kind of count on, because sometimes, you know, there are some good options. There are some really good craft services that sometimes are really prepared for with some healthy options for people that don't have the pizza and the sandwiches and stuff like that. They have some really, really good food for you. So I love it, you know, when I'm surprised like that. But I'm also prepared with either like a meal replacement shake, or, you know, something that's going to be a good substitute for me just in case. So that, you know, if that happens, then I'm not relying on a few slices of pizza to get me through the day.
And you make a really good point there, because a meal replacement shake was where I was going to go next. I think that is huge for people to have on hand, because all you really need is one serving size in a Ziploc baggie, a shaker cup, and some water. And Everybody, even if you can't bring your water or your, you know, let's say you want to use almond milk or something for your shake, if you can't bring that, every place you can find a drinking fountain anywhere. Every place has water, right, available. So bring your shaker cup and bring your meal replacement shake. the meal replacement shake that I recommend is Shakeology. It's what I use. It's what we use in our home. It's what I recommend to my clients always. It's like a superfood, super fruit, amazing replacement shake. And it is, to clarify, it is not a protein shake. It has a full serving of protein. It is not a protein shake. It is a shake for nourishment and nutrition. So that's what I recommend to everyone. If you can have something on hand like that, much better than pizza slices or whatever else is available, potato chips or something like that. Yeah.
Cool. That's always my biggest.
And you get a whole meal. You get a whole meal.
Exactly.
And
a drink. Yeah. Plus, for me personally, I love it myself when I'm able to just, it's a lot faster to consume as well. So I'm able to consume and then actually like just get back to work. So on set, I'm big on that. I always try to cut lunchtime down. So like, there are some sets that I've been on that push like an hour for lunchtime. Well, that's entirely too much time for me. So yeah, even just like throwing a shake, mixing it up with some water, downing it, and then boom, back into the action.
Yeah.
So.
And then you have so much more energy too with that. I know we kind of touched on that, but I mean, you can really like, and I don't know from your experience if you can get that. You know, that shake in you, you know, within 15 minutes or however long you're taking to drink it, and then you can get back on, you have energy. You're not feeling bogged down.
Yes, and I always try to communicate this over to, you know, the producers or whoever's in charge of serving food to your crew. Like, okay, you realize by feeding them, you know, pizza and sandwiches, you're killing our productivity for the rest of the day. So if you give us something that's going to be, you know, it's going to deliver a little bit more energy, it's not going to make us go to sleep, you're actually, you know, saving yourself. Like, the production's going to go up, you're going to be more productive, the crew's going to be more productive. Especially if you're going to be sitting at a desk all day, it really sucks if you have to eat something that's going to then make you tired. Because there's nothing worse than trying to stay awake at your desk, trying to keep creative and, you know, troubleshooting problems that come up. And meanwhile, your body's trying to digest this awful crap that you put into your system and is just saying, okay, take a nap now. It's a terrible feeling.
Isn't it, though? It is a terrible feeling. Yeah. I know that feeling. I was not always like this. I did not always eat this healthy.
What was young Andrea like? Like, you know, were you always, you said, you know, you haven't always been eating this healthy, but like, when did this turn for you?
So I grew up, you know, your average American, you know, family. We lived in a home where we ate processed foods. We had mac and cheese for dinner. We had, you know, Fruit Loops for breakfast. You know, for lunch, I was always taking bologna sandwiches with mayonnaise. And, you know, now we know. You know, back then, I don't think we were as aware of that. I mean, at least I wasn't. My family wasn't as aware of, like, the power of fresh fruits and vegetables. But you know, back in the day, it was just what we ate, and that's, you know, what we thought was healthy and what was going to give us energy, and it was kind of what was, you know, the commercials were all about, the mac and cheese and this and that, and, you know, whatever that brand is of bologna that was out there back then. Anyway, so, you know, yeah, I grew up eating like that. You know, we had Friday pizza nights, Fridays, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, one day a week eating pizza. But anyway, we'd have, you know, just a regular household with food, that kind of food in it. And as I got older, it was when I was actually when I went away to college. And I won't lie to you, I was just like every other college student around. I lived off of pizza and beer. It was fun. And I felt like crap all the time. I ended up getting that very within 2 months of my freshman year of college. I got came down with mono and bronchitis twice, and strep throat, and an ear infection, and extreme fatigue. I was just not well. I just wasn't feeling well at all. And finally, one day, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. I want to start running again. I want to get back into my, I had to skip class sometimes because I wasn't feeling well enough to go. It's like, okay, if I can't walk up the hill to go to class, there's a problem. So I changed my ways then, although I didn't know very much about nutrition. I just started doing a little bit of reading. I ended up training for the Chicago Marathon and running starting it in 2004, but the only way that I could do that was if I ate healthfully and nutritiously. So I started out with just, you know, kind of, you know, getting rid of fried foods and getting rid of fast food and getting rid of soda. Did all that, felt a lot better, got active again, really started to feel better. And then all of a sudden, as you know, in my adult years, it just, I was eating more healthy than I had been before at that time, but I really wasn't eating healthy to the degree that I do now, to where it's a nourishing, therapeutic, healing diet. I was just eating more healthy than I was. So I was running out of energy. I was still eating processed foods and things like that. And I got sick, really sick again, about 7 or 8 years after that college time. And that's when I started really noticing that, oh my gosh, I need to really learn about this. And so then I went to school for traditional naturopathy and for 3 years, and I learned all about nutrition and how it works in the body. And that's kind of where it started for me, because I was really sick. I had to get well, and I wasn't so much about getting well with the pills, because and I'll end this quickly because I feel like I'm a little bit rambling, but I was once taking 5 prescription pills a day when I was 28, and that was no fun. I didn't feel good. I was very sick, and I wasn't getting better. And with each pill that I took, there was a new side effect, and I knew, and I had to take another pill. So I knew there was another way, and that's kind of how I transitioned into this lifestyle and teaching other people how they can get well too.
Awesome. And you actually, you touched on something, you know, way back. Who knew pizza and beer? Not a good, you know, day-to-day diet. Man. Like, that was, how long did it take for the scientists to figure that one out? Man. But I want to ask, because you mentioned how, an occasional slice of pizza or I don't like the label cheat meal, but occasionally a food that you don't typically eat every single day all the time is okay. Because I know that some of us post-production folk who sit at a desk also have some fitness and health goals, like losing a bit of weight, slimming down or building some muscle while they work, which is really tough, again, when you're trying to balance it out with your work life of sitting all day and dealing with this stressful environment. So a lot of people have these, diets and, things that they try out where they are, they can be long-term or short-term lifestyle changes towards a certain goal. And then they get super bummed out when they fall off the train, even just, they eat one thing that's not on the okay list. I personally go by this 80-20 rule, and I'm not sure if you do as well, for foods that I eat throughout the week. But, what would you say to people who kind of feel guilty or get bummed out or give up just after they eat one thing, they cave and they have their one treat food?
Well, that's a very, I'm glad you bring this up, because it's a very common issue that a lot of people have, and it's more a mental issue. I do have to say, I do go by the 80-20 rule most of the time as well. And
for those who don't know what the 80-20 rule, can you briefly explain what it is?
Definitely. So in other words, 80% of the time you're eating healthfully, you're eating nutritiously. I say you're eating alkaline, which means that you're eating mostly fruits and vegetables 80% of the time. And then the 20% of the time leaves room for other things like, your protein sources, your quote unquote treats, or your slice of pizza or a cookie. You absolutely cannot be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. We live in the real world. There's, there's pizza around us. There's, there's all kinds of stuff around us that...
Man, pizza's really taking a beating in this podcast.
I know. I'm sorry about pizza. I just realized that I really needed to really... pizza's not bad, people.
People are going to listen to this and right afterwards be like, for some reason, I really want a pizza.
I know. Well, here's the good news. Go out and have your pizza, but put a ton of fresh veggies on it. go buy yourself a delicious frozen Amy's pizza from the grocery store and load up on your favorite veggies. Put some, you know, put some delicious sauce on it. Whatever you need to do to make it delicious, but also make it healthy, because you're never going to be perfect. There's no such thing. And I am a huge, huge supporter of balance. Everything in moderation, everything in balance. Because the minute you try to be perfect, which, again, make-believe word, the minute you try to be perfect is the minute you start feeling like you're failing, and you're not necessarily failing. You're just simply feeling like, oh, crap, I didn't eat something that was good for me. Now what? And it's like, just remember when you do that, that that doesn't mean that you fell off. That doesn't mean that you did anything wrong or bad or anything like that. What that means is you're human and you took a break and you had a moment where you just wanted something. That's okay. Just remember that, you know, when in doubt, the 80-20 rule, and I tell all my clients that, you know. And also, you know, this is a great thing to mention too. If you have a coach or you're thinking about hiring a health coach or something like this, or even having a mentor or something like that, is really great, because when you have a coach, when you have a mentor, when you have a friend, even an accountability buddy, you can call that person and you can say, dude, I just slipped. I had a beer, or I had a couple cookies. Help me, you know? And then that person can say, hey man, it's all right. This is what we're going to have for breakfast tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. It's totally fine. Was it in your 80-20, was it your 20% for the day? Sure was. Okay, cool. All right, fine. Yeah. You know, and that's where I think having somebody for accountability can really help.
Yeah, by the way, your friends on Facebook may not be that accountability, because for me, it is a little bit frustrating when, even just recently over the past few months, I undertook a lifestyle change to be really aware of what I was putting into my body, so that for this year, as I'm training for OCRs and for cycling races and stuff like that, I can hit my fitness goals. And I like announcing that on Facebook and Instagram and posting my progress. And then every once in a while, if I posted that, hey, I enjoyed an ice cream, or I went out with some friends for a birthday, and I ate a burger with some healthier and non-healthier, toppings on it or something like that. Yeah, I took a break. And right away people start, commenting like, oh, so that health kick didn't last too long, eh? I'm like, no, that's all part of it. I'm not going to just eat, right the, 100% of the time. That's impossible. But, just having a little bit of that every once in a while, and then knowing that, all right, I've had my treat. This will affect now my decisions for what I'm going to eat for the next week, and I can balance out. That's part of it.
And that's a really good point. And I do think that there's something to be said for that, especially because I think food is meant to be enjoyed. I really do. Like, God wouldn't have created all these delicious foods if they weren't meant to be enjoyed. And, of course, some of them, a lot of them are man-made. But, like, if we can't take a break for a minute and, like, have a delicious burger or something that we enjoy, we're just then avoiding a bunch of food and torturing ourselves. So that can be mentally, like, really hard. If you're like, oh, my God, everybody else is – and this is a mental thing. I mean, we all have been there. You're at a birthday party, like you said, your party – and, your friends are having all this birthday cake, and you're like, oh, now it's a different situation if you have a gluten allergy or something like that, and you can't, or a nut allergy, you can't have what they're eating, that's different.
Yeah.
But if you are just trying to avoid it so hard that that's all you can think about when you're at the party, for God's sake, just have a piece of pizza or have a piece of cake. Pizza again. Have a piece of cake. Have a beer. Like, enjoy yourself while you're in the moment, but really try to enjoy it and embrace it, and don't beat yourself up for it later.
Yeah, and I think that's the best piece of advice I heard from somebody over the last little while is, if you quote-unquote fall off and, by impulse you cave and you eat something that, you're going to enjoy, first step, enjoy it.
Exactly.
Don't beat yourself up for it. That kind of defeats the purpose. It's to be enjoyed. but just take that and going forward, okay, now what are you going to eat to balance it out? You know, that's going to affect what you have for dinner or for your next meal the next day. And I like how you also said, you know, if you're going to, it's kind of like the go big or go home, message of, hey, if you're going to have a treat meal, make it good. And I think that's been something that's really changed. I still don't eat, you know, junk food from Wendy's or McDonald's or anything like that, because I find that, well, if I'm going to do something, quote unquote, bad, or if I'm going to eat some food that, you know, it goes in my 20 column, then hell, I'm going to make it something really good. I'm not going to, you know, have some $2 hamburger from a fast food joint. Like, no, I'm going to go out and have a really nicely, you know, nicely made, you know, gourmet hamburger with, you know, pure organic beef with these killer toppings on it. And hell, I'm going to make it awesome because, hey, why not?
Yes, a nice, juicy, decadent burger. And by this is
forcing people to go to, all right, now I got to have a pizza with a burger on top of it and, you know, rinse it down with a beer. Yeah.
Well, I do have to say, just reminding you all that this topic of burgers and pizza, this is your 20%, okay? Just 20%.
Yeah.
A reminder. But yeah. I think I do want to bring back the pizza thing, because I want to say, I think I keep mentioning pizza because I love pizza. It's like my thing. Like, if I can have pizza, that's my cheat meal. That's my 20%. Like, if I'm going to have something, I think I want to have pizza tonight. if I'm going to have something good, I'm going to go for pizza. So I think that's why it keeps coming up in my awareness. Like, oh, pizza,
yeah.
Pizza.
Well, I guess that answers the question I was going to ask. Like, if you're, you know, if you're going to have your treat meal, and what's that going to be? But what's your, you know, you post awesome pictures of really delicious looking but uber healthy food. So if you guys are following Andrea on either Instagram or Facebook, then she posts awesome meals almost every single day. So, like, what is your go-to, you make a lot of salads, you make a lot of your own juices and stuff like that. What is your go-to, you know, I'm having a killer day, going to reward myself by making this meal. What is it?
Okay, so my reward, so kind of like a treat, is that what you're going for?
Kind of like a treaty health meal, because, you know, you can still make healthy meals that, you know, that taste full of awesome, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. And those are my personal cheat meals. I don't like cheat meals either, but those are my personal treats for me, is a really delicious but healthy concoction of some sort. So I would, going back, I can't deny it. I'd have a gluten-free pizza with a bunch of really yummy toppings. I'd probably go on Google or Food Network or... I love the website oshiglows.com. So if you're listening, Oshiglows, your website is wonderful. I'd probably go and find a really yummy pizza recipe for myself. And I'd always make it gluten-free because I just simply can't have gluten. So, yeah, that's what I do.
You don't eat meat, do you?
You know, I can't say that I don't eat meat. I just don't eat as much as I used to. The meat that I do eat is fish right now.
Okay.
But I am open to eating other meats. I just noticed that. So I wouldn't call myself, I'm just going to clarify, I wouldn't call myself vegan. But I would say that I eat fish mostly because, and I do eat yogurt sometimes, organic yogurt, plain. But I do eat fish sometimes because I find that my body really craves it and needs it. And it's something that helps me. And I find that I digest it really well, whereas other meats like red meat, I don't digest very well, and I just know that because I can feel it. I feel like it just, my stomach hurts after I eat it. So, yeah. I don't eat meat very often.
I still like my meat, although I don't eat a whole lot of it. But like my go-to meal at the end of the day is salads are ridiculously easy to make if you just keep yourself stocked with all the stuff in the fridge. And so that's actually my snack, in between meal sort of solution, but also at the end of the day, just grilling up some meat, throwing it on a salad with a bunch of veggies, no real dressing, but yeah, it's, and honestly, after I'm done eating it, I'm not feeling bogged down, I'm ready to get back to work, and I'm good.
I love it, and you know what? I just want to make a point, because that's a really good point. There's three things that I tell people to make their life easier in making food. Number one is a blender, number two is a crock pot, and number three is a salad. because, like you said, it's so easy to just chop up a bunch of crap and throw it in a bowl and take it with you. It's so easy to throw something in a blender or a shaker cup, like your meal replacement shake. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
You know, take that with you, or you know, throw a bunch of crap in a crock pot, let it cook, come home, and now you have your dinner. It's just so easy and healthy.
Yeah. And not only that, like all of the stuff I make, I love making food, but I always have to keep it really, really simple, but still really delicious. And, you know, we live in an age now where if you're bored and you're, you know, you want a new meal to try out, it's as simple as like there's a plethora of recipes out there that it's, you know, so simple to find something that takes like 5 ingredients and 20 minutes to make and boom, like you're off to the races.
Yeah.
Speaking on that for a second, you know, we do live in an age where we just get bombarded. Seems like every day there's a new opinion out there on what is healthy for you, you know, the collective you, everybody you, what's good for you, what's bad for you. You know, there are food trends that are changing constantly. You know, one day, you know, eating a lot of greens is good for you. One day bacon's good for you. One day bacon's bad for you. You know, coconut oil solves every problem in the world. I'm sure tomorrow they'll find a way to say, nope, coconut oil's bad for you. You know, with all of these, you know, the bombardment of information out there, how do people figure out what, you know, how do you sift through that and find out, you know, what's right for you, what's wrong for you?
Well, there's a number of answers to that question, but I'll start with this. And the one thing that's never going to shift, that's never going to change, is that fresh fruits and vegetables are always going to be good for you, for pretty much everyone. So just make sure if you're choosing anything to choose mostly that in your life. Again, eating 80% alkaline, that's what I recommend to keep you healthy. Now, as far as, you know, you mentioned bacon, you know, one day bacon is bad, one day bacon is good, one day this is bad, one day this is good. Well, the answer to that question is looking at the source of where that's coming from. So yes, bacon can be very bad. Bacon actually can be good. It just depends on the source. So if you're getting, if you go to your butcher and you're getting some, you know, bacon that's, you know, freshly cut, freshly sliced, and it's, you know, from a grass-fed animal or from an organic animal, you might have yourself some really healthy bacon. On the other hand, if you go to the store and you go to your, you know, bologna section, and you see this packaged processed bacon there, that's not the best source of bacon. So you really have to look at the source. Consider the source is what I always say. You know, make sure that you consider the source of it. Same goes for coconut oil. Coconut oil is extremely healthy for you. I don't foresee that ever changing, but you'll want to look at the source for that too. Is it unrefined, cold-pressed coconut oil? Is it organic coconut oil? That's what you really want to be looking for. If it just says coconut oil on it and it doesn't say any, you know, organic or unrefined or cold pressed, you know, you might be looking at kind of a crappy product. So, you know, take a look at what you're purchasing. Mm. Any more specific questions about that, about specific foods or anything?
I'm guessing that, you know, if people want to really know or to get a kickstart on, you know, what are the first steps on for them specifically making the right decisions about nutrition for themselves, then it would be, hey, go to someone like you and, you know, go to a health and nutrition coach to kind of set you on the right path and start making the right decisions. Because that's what I did a few years ago. I went to, I consulted with a nutritionist who I said, I know I'm doing things wrong, but I don't know how to do things right. I need someone to guide me, and I don't know how bad I'm eating. And I need someone to kind of spin me around 3 times and push me in the right direction. And she definitely, ever since, I've had a really good relationship with her. And I keep on going back to her with new questions, and she keeps on helping me out. And it is a lifestyle change, but it's good to have someone to be able to go to constantly, who knows you and knows what foods are good for you, bad for you specifically, and who can kind of guide you on that. So that's something that you typically help people with?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. And I do think it's a good thing to have someone in your corner on that, to get you started. rapid. Everybody's in a different place. Everybody has different goals. Everybody has different health issues. So you really do, you know, highly recommended to find somebody who might be able to help you personally at least get started. And if not, like you said, you know, you keep going back to talk. I think that that's great, that relationship that you guys have, and you know, that you can keep going back and asking questions, and because that's what it's really all about. I mean, that's why, you know, somebody like me, that's why I have a 4-week program, because I want people to be able to, you're going to have questions. You're going to be confused. You're going to have times where you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm not sure. And you want to have that person there so that you can contact them anytime and ask them the questions and get the answers that you need. Reading is really great, you know, as far as information goes. But again, that's general stuff. It's not really targeting what your personal needs are. Yeah,
I find that. And I'm a bit of a nerd now when, you know, with any sort of, you know, new nutrition information comes out. I love reading up on that stuff. However, the way I treat it now is, A, whenever I hear of something that, you know, a new opinion comes out or something else, for instance, you know, bulletproof coffee was something that came out, started to emerge like a couple of years ago. And when the concept first came out, it was really intriguing. And some people were saying it's really good for you. Some people were saying it's horrible for you. And, you know, my reaction now whenever I hear something like that is to go to my nutritionist buddy and ask them specifically, hey, is this something I should be doing? And get their professional, very learned opinion, or and or try it. And you know, there are a lot of different detoxes and cleanses and you know, different pieces of advice floating around the net that you know, some people try out, some people don't, and some people say this works, this doesn't. I just try it out, and then, you know, like your sugar detox, your 7-day sugar detox, I tried it because I thought, you know what, sure, let's give it a shot. I feel like I may be dependent on sugar, so I'm going to do this for 7 days and find out what the effect is. Does it help me? Does it not? And, you know, then by the end of it, like I said, I didn't make it the full 7 days, but I was, I think I told you this, I did kind of have a better idea by the end of it just what, you know, how much sugar was I putting into my body and what was that causing and what was it like without that. And yeah so that's typically what I do. But yeah, so if anybody, any of our listeners have any specific questions, go bombard Andrea, take up all of her time, and send her your emails, your questions, you know, carrier pigeon messages over her way.
To hear from you. A quick word, if I could, on the sugar detox.
Sure.
I do offer that for free on Facebook every month, the first of the month. Welcome to join if you are on Facebook. The thing about it that I like the most is, you know, a lot of what Nick was saying, but it is gentle. And I wanted to just, you know, kind of clear something up a little bit about detoxes in general, is that if you're thinking about doing a detox, I had to mention this before we got off because I'm like, whoa, this is a big topic. There's a lot of detoxes out there, a lot of them. If they are harsh, if they are quick, if they're like, oh, here's this, take this pill and, you know, get all the toxins out in 2 days, you're like, that makes you wonder, how gentle is that cleanse? How natural is it? And is it just going to be a trend, or is it something that's really healthy for you? So just be on the lookout for that kind of thing. You don't want to do anything crazy and really harsh, especially if you've never done a detox of any kind before. Mm-hmm. Where I always recommend people start if they want to detox something, it's going to be probably sugar. And that would be my free group. So just keep that in mind. Do gentle things to your body. Don't overdo, especially if you don't have a health practice yet, if you don't have like a, you know, a daily, you know, nutritional regimen that you're following.
Mm-hmm. And so your the 7-day detox, I'll put that the link in the show notes for people who want to head on over to the group, introduce themselves, and perhaps join in. I'll be doing it next month. I'm pretty sure this is, I'm going to make it a habit. I like every once in a while picking something that I enjoy very much, or I have very regularly, and then do without it. I'm actually feeling out the idea of perhaps doing like a 7-day no coffee challenge. Again, just to kind of, yeah, I know. So don't talk to me for those 7 days. I'll kill you. But yeah, I will not be a happy, happy guy. But, I went from being like a, 10 cups a day kind of person to now like 2 or 3 cups a day. And that's pretty much my standard. But I'm just kind of curious, what will my body say if I just reset it from coffee for a little bit? So that may be something I'll be curious about doing it in the next little while. But the sugar detox, it was fun. There were some people involved who you do like a daily check-in where there's a different thing you must do, a different action, whether that be post a sugar-free meal or dessert that you're having. There are different steps that you get the group to do. It's very supportive, and you give a lot of tips for how to, leading up to day one, how to watch for certain, the different forms of sugar that are disguised. So I found it really helpful, and by the end of it was really aware of what sugar was doing to me. And it's a generally pretty simple introductory detox to get into if you're thinking about doing more. So I'll definitely include that link in the show notes if people are interested in finding out more and checking it out. Where else can people find you, Andrea?
So you can find me at my website, andreamclaughlin.net. And how to spell McLaughlin? It is long. Might you be able to put that link as well?
I'll definitely help out.
Spell it out.
Yep. I'll for our listeners, I believe it is andreamclaughlin.net, right?
Yes.
McLaughlin is one of those last names where there's like 5 different ways of spelling it, so it's it's a little confusing. But if you don't want to spell it out, then hey, head on over to the show notes and click on the link and go check it out there. Anything else for our listeners before we go?
I don't think so. I just, be happy, be healthy, enjoy life, and if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me anytime.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Andrea. I'm going to go have a piece of pizza now.
Okay, well, enjoy that. I might too tonight. I won't lie. Gluten-free pizza sounds good.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome.
Cool. We'll end it there.
Yay!
Done!